So the epistle for the feast of the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ is taken from Colossians chapter 1. Brethren, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in lights, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy, because in him it hath well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on the earth and the things that are in heaven, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 18. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief of priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this I came into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Please be seated. All desire to rejoice with him, if you are willing to suffer with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I mentioned, we celebrate this great feast of Christ the King, to where we make the public recognition that our Lord is our King by the procession that we will have after Mass. And so as we go around, as we process with the blessed sacraments, in recognition that Christ is our King, it is this external way that we can show that. Externally, yes, maybe since we're out in the plains of Colorado, maybe not many people will see us in our procession. But it is for us to give that external manifestation that our Lord is King. But there are many ways that we can illustrate that. There are different ways that we can show that our Lord is truly our King. I mean, as I mentioned, just a few things of even just the way that we dress, the way that we show Almighty God that he is truly our King, or trying to follow and trying to see what is the ways of our Lord as opposed to the ways of the world, of how caught up we can get with the world. And maybe even how we don't even recognize the path that we are taking. Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre had said during a sermon, he said, "Where our Lord does not reign, Satan takes the throne." And then he specifically went on to explain that even in the homes, that is the same way. If you do not place our Lord as properly as the King of your home, then you are properly placing Satan there. And that is a thing that we must try to understand. What does that mean for us? Well, yes, something as simple as a sense of modesty, something as simple as not wearing the proper clothes for Mass, not wearing our best for God, being imbued by the spirit of the world, whether getting caught up with these pagan feasts, or having the television, having movies, music, things that are contrary to a Catholic spirit. And that is something that, I mean, as our parish continues to grow, that is something that we will struggle with. We will struggle with having all of these influences coming into our church, into our family. And it is something, if we do not all understand that, it will be a struggle. It will be a difficulty for us to try to live Catholic lives then. because this child talks about that, or this family talks about these things or does these things. And it runs contrary to our Catholic faith. And so for one, our children are completely lost. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. And so that is where we must try to examine, especially today, as we make the procession, as we have our Lord leading the procession, as we're meant to give adoration and veneration to Almighty God, being exposed in the Blessed Sacrament, it is good for us to recollect and to try to think, are we living up to that? Or is it just empty words or empty songs that we're singing or just following along and we don't even follow that every day of our life? Because that is the whole sense and the whole understanding of why this feast was instituted. Because the world was going against having our Lord as the King. And so therefore it was instituted to show, no, publicly we will show that Christ is our King. I mean, just as the Archbishop says, where our Lord does not reign, Satan takes the throne. Very clearly. And I will say that it will even happen in Catholic homes. Catholic. They come to Mass and that's about where it ends. They go home and they have all their things of the world and they live that life and they think nothing of it. Well, in a way that is a public mockery of our Lord Jesus Christ as King. There's a mockery in a sense to even take place then in the procession if you're living your life that way. Because it is hypocritical to come in the procession of giving adoration to Almighty God if your life at home is completely opposite to it. If you do things that are contrary to a spirit of the Catholic Church, it is a mockery. I mean, that is the whole purpose that we had the adoration and reparation for what was taking place on Thursday. And Pope Benedict XVI, on the anniversary, the day of the first prayer meeting at Assisi, he called Assisi III. And for us, it should hurt us. It should hurt us that the Holy Father would call in recognition of something that was done. Something that we can say was a blasphemy to Almighty God. And so that is why we spent the day in adoration, in reparation, and trying to repair for the damage that is being done. Of even just having all of these different religions come together to pray for peace in a Catholic Church. Because whether it's said verbally or whether it's said, you know, explicitly, it is still showing that all these religions are put on the same plane, which they cannot be. And so therefore, that is why we spent the day in reparation. And I thank the generosity for you that spent the time here. I mean, again, I was edified by the mount that came to Compline, you know, the closing of the ceremony. I mean, so there is that generosity that is there. But I think also sometimes we lose the sense of what does it mean to be a Catholic. Because the world pounds us so much. We're all products of our environment. But we have to realize that our environment around us is against God. I mean, those of you that work out in the world, you see that probably every day of your life. You see how hard it is to try to live a Catholic life out in this world. And so if anything, you should realize much more of what a battle it is for your souls. That you feel you have to try to defend your faith or try to live your faith every moment. And it's always being challenged, probably. And so if you recognize that, don't give in to it. Yes, it is the easier path. It is the easier choice for us. To go along with it. But we cannot. It is one of the things that the Archbishop brings out in his book. They have uncrowned him. The whole book is basically about this feast day. The archbishop was saying in that book that through time, it is the uncrowning of our Lord as king. Even to the point of, at the Second Vatican Council, they had taken out some of the words that recognize our Lord as king from the liturgy of today. Why? Because, well, they didn't want to offend. And so that is something that when we see, it should pain us. It should hurt us that, yes, our Lord is being treated that way. But granted, sometimes for us, we can point the finger at the Second Vatican Council, at the Novus Ordo Mass. It's very easy for us to point that finger. But I ask all of us to examine, what is our home like? What is our home like? As I say, it's very easy to look the other way, but it's very easy to throw stones at a glass house. And so we should examine, what does our home look like? Is our home truly a Catholic home? If it's imbued with movies, if it's imbued with the television, if it's imbued with music that is contrary to our Catholic faith, you are no better off. And just as we can say the prayer meeting at Assisi in 1986 was a blasphemy against God, by having all of those things in our homes, well, guess what? We're doing the exact same thing. Because we know better. We understand what it means to try to live a Catholic life, the sacrifices that it entails. But are we living that life? I mean, that is the thing when we have all the children dress up as saints. We see our innocent children coming up as these saints, their cute costumes. They can recite some of the things. It should be our prayer that they always stay that way. That it's not just merely dressing up. That it's some fake thing that they place on themselves. No, it is truly in imitation of the saints that they should be trying to live their lives. And so that is why when the children try to pick a saint, they should try to pick a saint that, one, they can try to imitate. They can try to follow the virtues that that saint practiced. And that is why it's important for your children to understand, who are their patron saints? Why did you name them after these saints? You know, why did you choose that name for them? Hopefully it's not just because it sounded nice. Hopefully you had some reasoning behind it. You know, and those are the things that we must try to understand. And that's why it's so important to pick saints' names. Because you want that saint to be an intercessor for your child. And so it's sad when we don't even choose saints' names. Because now you're sending your child off into a world without that extra protection. And so these little things that maybe we lose sight of, these little things that we truly lose a sense of our Catholic faith. As I say, when you think about how the Church, on the vigils of some of the great feast, it will ask of us penance. It will require from us to fast, to abstain. Why? Because it wants us to gain the graces from that great feast that is coming up. It wants us to understand that we have a great feast coming up, so prepare yourself. But you see how the world mocks that. They go off in complete mockery of the saints by dressing up as demons, as ghouls, as ghosts. Or probably some of these stupid rock stars now. Some of them look like they should be costumes because they look so hideous. But they do that, and then they celebrate. They just eat their candy. And maybe we don't even recognize that. Maybe we don't even think about that. It's never even crossed our mind. But that is where it came from. To mock the saints. And that is the world around us. It is in mockery of God's church. And so therefore, we cannot go along with that. As I say, this is a great feast for us. This is a feast that we need to back up with what we say. If we say that Christ is our King, back it up. Back it up by your daily life. And so that is the thing that we must try to understand. And as I say, it would be great for all of us to examine. To examine our family lives. Instead of casting, you know, dispersions upon the prayer meeting at Assisi or what is allowed or what the Novus Ordo, look first at the home and see, is it a Catholic home? And if not, there's work there first before we start pointing the finger at everyone else. And so as I say, as the Archbishop had said, and where our Lord does not reign, Satan takes the throne very clearly. But I think also there is, as I mentioned to you at the beginning in the Imitation of Christ, where it says, all desire to rejoice with our Lord, but very few are willing to suffer with him. And I think there is required of us a lot of suffering. But who is greater than the Master? If our Lord Jesus Christ suffered so much, why should we not? And so let us rightly place our Lord on his throne. Let us truly be united together in one heart when we do go on the procession. When we go out in adoration of Almighty God, that we have God before us, that we show that and we illustrate that by our daily life. Because then with that, we will back up what we say, that Christ is our King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.